Blog Talk Radio.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning and welcome. I'm Alpha Bhutan, and we have a show. Usually we're not broadcasting on Sunday, but I have on the line with us Shona McDaniels. Hi, Shona.
Hi, Alpha.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I feel blessed to be up and ready to go on this wonderful Sunday morning.
And, all right. I know that you have an event. Where you're going to be painting this afternoon over at the Mack Road Community Center. So we're going to take a half an hour of your time so that you can talk about that project, which is called Harlem Renaissance Cotton Come to Harlem Project. Just a little bit about Shona. Shona is a visual artist and a community activist. And she is also the director and founder of the Saturna Truth Multicultural Art Museum, which has another name. What is the new name of the museum, Shona?
The Saturna Truth African Heritage Museum.
See, I was around when it was the Saturna Truth Multicultural Art Museum. So I know that you are now part of the museum campus of Sacramento?
Yes, the Sacramento Association of Museums. So we have been with that association since 2007.
All right. So, and that's really monumental because of you're the only African-American based museum in the city.
That is correct. That is correct. And we're really proud to represent our culture, our heritage right here in Sacramento.
So, Shona, you know, let's talk about yourself, first of all, as an artist. And that question I have for you is what inspired you and how your passion developed, and talk a little bit about how it manifested first and foremost as a visual artist.
Well, that's a good question, Alpha. I always tell everyone I came out of the womb with a paintbrush in my hand, and it's just been a wonderful opportunity and a great blessing to be able to have that creative energy and to know, to be able to identify what it is that God has given you, your gift. We all have gifts, but a lot of people have yet to identify their gift. So I always say that my gift is a divine privilege and a sacred and wonderful relationship with the Most Divine. And I'm very grateful and appreciative to be able to have this gift. And I've been an artist all my life. Kindergarten, on up. My mother, she saw that gift, and as a young parent, she helped to cultivate that gift to make sure that I was always involved in the arts. She signed me up for contests. She made sure that I always had an art teacher. And a lot of parents don't do that. You know, they don't help to cultivate the gift for their children. So I feel truly blessed that my mother, she helped to cultivate the gift that was already given to me by the Most Divine. And from there, in high school, I remember in art classes, everyone coming up to me, you know, asking me to paint their projects. The teachers always taken a special interest in my gifts. And I give credit to teachers, to art teachers, you know, allow me to be able to cultivate my gift as well. So I've had a lot of people and mentors as well who have helped to cultivate the gift in me, and that's been a blessing.
One of the things I like to say about Ollie, one of the things I'd like to compliment Ollie McDaniels is Shona McDaniels' mother, and she is an artist in her own right. You know, she is also a board member for
yes.
the parent organization.
Yes, she is, and she's an artist as well. She's an artist, so she's been right by my side, you know, working with me with the nonprofit, you know, teaching in the schools. Continuing to give her gift, you know, to the community as well. So that, again, I always have to count my blessings, and I'm thankful for that. I had the opportunity and I'm trying to remember what year. I think it was around 1987, I'm thinking. I had the opportunity to travel to Germany. And while I was in Germany, and I lived there for a year, while I was in Germany, that was like the first opportunity that I really had as a young artist to work on the base. In Germany, on the Spain Gollum base, to teach art. And that was like my first professional opportunity to be able to teach art to the children and families on the base. So that really sparked the fire in me that, you know, I can do this. I can be a professional artist. And then when I came back, and I had the opportunity to meet you and Kevin Halland. And what year was that? I don't remember. Do you actually remember?
It's like 1990. I was curating an exhibit with LaBelle Arts. And they brought me those, I'm sorry, Celebration Arts brought me on as their director of visual arts in 1990, right after I had finished the teaching education program at Sacramento State University. And then I had got this contract with LaBelle Arts to curate their show. And I met you through Barbara, Brenda, you know, she was a, what do you call it? She was actually you had a modeling troupe that you were involved with, and she introduced me to you. And then shortly after that, we met Kevin when we were exhibiting together. So, but, you know, we're going to fast forward, you know, because that's over 30 years ago almost. And we're kind of dating ourselves or whatever, or dating me anyway, because I know I was at the time, you know, I was, you know, working and doing a lot in South Sacramento. Again, these unexpected lucky breaks that we get when someone had faith in me to be a director of a visual arts, you know, component of Celebration Arts. And then we moved on, and then life it goes the way it goes. So I want to talk to you. Let's move into our discussion of public space and this project that you envisioned and brought to fruition, which is the Harlem Renaissance, Cotton Come to Harlem. So, you know, in your trajectory, you know, that was in the 90s, and then 2000, I would say 2000, you were pregnant with your daughter, Lasara.
Yes.
And you got this opportunity to jumpstart this public art project over at the Florin Road Business Incubator, which now is the Art and Business Incubator, or is it the African Marketplace? So it's evolved in its own right from the first murals that you did over there.
Yes.
So you want to let's talk about that and talk about public before we talk about public participatory art projects, talk about your beginning there with the mural project. You started there, and then how you moved the museum into that complex.
Yes. So in 1996, I had the opportunity to work with a lady named Barbara Nord. And in that space, she had a business that works with Social Security recipients, payee services. But Barbara was also an amazing artist. So initially I went to work with her in her payee service, but of course, you know, when you have the arts involved, that always comes to the forefront, you know, of the conversation. So we were just both elated about, you know, being artists. And she offered me the opportunity to use her 501c3. And we started art programs there, art programming. And we started painting murals. She opened up a thrift shop for the clients, and we painted our first mural there in the thrift shop, and we connected with other nonprofits that were there, the WIC office, and the WIC office invited us to paint a mural there of their logo and children playing with building blocks on the floor. So I would say that was the initial kickoff for us to actually start painting murals in that space. And in 2002, when the current owner took over the building, he saw those murals that we had already started painting, and he approached us and asked us if we would paint more murals throughout the building. And so we sit down with him, and actually we invited community neighbors to come and sit down with us to talk to them to find out what images they would like to see painted on the walls in that space. So we had about 30 community members that we would meet with over a period of a month. And we talked about some of the themes and some of the images that they wanted to see on the walls. And we created one of the most popular murals today, which is the Sankofa mural. And I reached out to other artists to help come and paint some of these murals, and you were one of those artists as well. You helped with the Journey Through Life mural, which includes the koi fish and the people in the boats, and I think Indigra symbols. I think that was pretty much a concept that you put together for that mural, Alpha. So if you want to say something briefly about that concept.
Well, if we could backtrack on it, you know, the first murals were the Neighborhood Temple, which was the jazz abstract piece that I worked on in the entryway of the building. When you first enter the, you know, that court entry court area, which is a beautiful atrium. And you worked
yes.
on the other part of a neighborhood temple, which showing the diversity of the neighborhood, which South Sacramento is populated by African American, Southeast Asian, and Mexican American. And so we had those dancers that were performing or, you know, dancing opposite, just opposed to the mural of the musicians. So that was the entry
yeah.
way into the atrium, which is, like I said, plants, and it's beautiful, it's lit. And that is what has now grown to when I did the journey through True Life, is because there is a large Christian population. Tom Donaldson, the owner, wanted that to be reflected. So I started with the beginning, a start, you know, with the burst of the universe, and going into, you know, like again with the symbols that we use in spirituality, the Andinkra symbols, you know, for love and power and creativity, throughout the mural. But it also was telling the not the biblical story, but in a sense that people that were atheists or didn't really want a Christian mural, and what does that look like, a Christian mural, to be across from their in the lobby like that. But I think what we painted was an experience for people to enjoy going through that journey that tells a, more of a, you know, a journey through true life. And then on the floor were the koi fish, where I painted
yes.
a huge pond. On the floor is a phase two where the mural came off, like the painting came off the wall onto the floor. And it was really something to see children run across it and think it's a pond and play with the fish, but they were all painted fish. And so,
yes.
You know, that mural, I haven't seen that mural, or was that mural taken down, or what happened? Or did we lose that mural?
No, it's still there. Actually, did some renovations on that mural last year. So it's still there.
Yeah, I didn't.
go
I got so busy doing the Renaissance project that I didn't get a chance to finish touring the building. We just came and went and sat in the museum space and strategized for how we were going to paint and work on the Harlem Renaissance project. And because our time is, you know, like going so fast, let's fast forward and go over to this new project that you are doing, which I it's a phrase that I have coined is tactical urbanism. And I thought that we would expand on that with what you're doing over here on Mack Road in Center Park at the Mack Road Community Center. And
yeah.
let's talk about that project and the artists that you've brought together to do the first phase of it. And then we know that this project is going to go through December 15th with different phases as you are raising the money to get different parts installed. So let's talk about that project and how that began.
Well, the Harlem Renaissance has been a part of my heart and soul, you know, and the artists of that time period, I was connected with them without even knowing. And a lot of times, you know, that's how the universe works, you know, and the spirit works, you know, for us. We're connected without actually recognizing the connection. So just briefly, you know, coming up, you know, having purchasing Jet and Ebony magazines, and there were a few other magazines that had images of great Black artists. And if any family member could tell you, you know, I was always one, when I would come to their home, that's the first thing I did was grab their magazines and start ripping them apart, looking for images of great Black art, you know, and they would start hiding your magazines, you know, shoulders coming, hide your magazines. But my grandmother, she would just pile up, you know, tons of magazines for me in a big box, when she knew I was coming. And when I would get there, she's like, "Grandbaby, here you go." And I sit there, and in the amount of hours, I'm just ripping through magazines, just being inspired by great Black art and artists that were being featured in these magazines. And so, and I would take these and just put them in file folders, you know, as a reference, you know, to continue to have a source of inspiration for paintings that I was working on. But little did I know that these images were actually paintings from artists of the Harlem Renaissance. As I began to learn about these artists and study these artists, then I would go back in my file folders and they were already there. I was already connected. So moving forward, you know, myself and another local artist, Daphne Burgess, I believe probably for the past maybe 8 years, could be a few years more, we've been making it our mission to work with the kids in the schools and educate them about these great artists from the Harlem Renaissance. So we have already been cultivating, you know, a space for these youth children to come and learn about artists of the Harlem Renaissance. You know, we created special projects, William H. Johnson projects and paintings for the kids to do, special collage work on Romare Bearden, Jacob Lawrence projects, and Lois Mailou Jones mask. And it's just been an amazing journey educating these kids. We even did a show at the Brick House Gallery a couple of years ago, inviting artists to paintings inspired by artists of the Harlem Renaissance. So it's been a journey, and what we've found out is that people don't know these artists. They don't even know that they ever existed. You know, they're not being taught in the history books. So this is a mission that we've taken on for the museum to change that reality, to make sure that from this moment forward, that every child, every youth that we are connected with will know about artists of the Harlem Renaissance. So this has been the base for us to create this project to have as a teaching tool, so the children will know their history. And most importantly, that the images that we are painting are images that look like them, images that they can be proud of. And so we're really excited about this project, and we've been working on it. We have a GoFundMe that's up that we've been trying to raise funds so we can create these spaces. And we kicked off the first one August 31st, and it was just magnificent. My heart was just overjoyed with the participation of the children and the artists that came through. To have you come and be a part of the project first and foremost was just amazing. So we had Goss, that's his artist name, Jerry Simpson. We had Daphne Burgess. We had Taylor, Pennell. We had up-and-coming young artists, Izzy Lowe, David Washington, and just a host of other artists that came through to visit. And as you know, a lot of them came through to visit you. We had an artist as far as Oakland. Come to see you.
Yeah, I really was honored. I'm still honored by, you know, you sending out and beating the drum and telling people, hey, you know, that I was there. That meant a lot to me. You know, that was kind of like, you know, I not that I look for that, but I think that that was, you know, kind of like this reinforcement of, all right, I did do something, you know, and did have some impact. And So and you as well, I mean, there's going to be hundreds of people that you have impacted just by your presence and also your perseverance in the arts. When I rolled up in Oak Park on King Drive and saw you out there, we're not going to age ourselves, but you out there on a ladder, you out there painting that Emden Belly, you know, on that building, and by yourself, you didn't have a spotter, you was out there trying to put the last touches on, you know what I mean, because that's the kind of dedication you have. And, you know, so, you know, I was honored to just, you know, fly back out to California and be a part of this project. And thank you again for inviting me back.
Yes.
And the kids that came out into the. Yes.
Oh, no, no.
Hello.
Can you hear me? I was going to say.
Yes, I can.
The SCAP actually. I spent most of the time on the scaffold. Okay, so
I know you did, but when I saw you, you was on that ladder.
Yeah, that was gone when you got there. The scaffold was gone. So the first time I actually got on the scaffolding was last year when I was helping artist Sonia Faye with her project, and I was like, oh my Lord! But like you said, it's some work. Okay. So, but
it's some work, and you go home, and you know it's a labor of love when you are able to go down the street and see your work manifest. We have about 3 minutes left on our show, and I think the question I want, we talked about tactical urbanism, and that's what you're doing. You're doing creative placemaking with this large project, and you do creative placemaking, and it's the whole guerrilla style of being on the street, you know, and being on a grassroots level. You're not coming from the Arts Commission level with funding to go out and do this. You're raising funding to bring art to the people. And I want to ask you this question, and how do you measure success of a project?
Okay, before that, I answer that question just briefly, I wanted to just think of the poets that came out that day. I didn't mention their name. Sanai and Dajabu with Straight Out Scribes, Mr. Rap Artist and Naima Moon and Chris Kuhn, poets on that day. So I just wanted to give thanks to them. But the measure of
Naima Moon is your sister, isn't it? Isn't Naomi the other artist in the family? Yeah.
Yes, she's a poet. She does acting, and that's her stage name, Naima Moon. And her and Chris Kuhn, they featured film documentaries throughout the day and did poetry. So I just want to thank those artists as well. Success for me is knowing that first and foremost, you know, the opportunity was created, you know, to have the opportunity created first and foremost, you know, and I give credit to the Most Divine for all opportunities that are created for me to go out into the community and involve the community in the arts. To have the children and the youth and the community come out and participate is another measure of success, you know, and to learn about what the opportunity is for the community. That educational component is, you know, another measure of success. I received a message from Miss Jackie Rose. You know, she's another pillar in our community, and she said she had movie night. She works with the kids over there at that community center as well as some of the kids in the apartment complex. And she sent me a message, and I got to get it on there and respond to her. But she said they had movie night there at the space. And she said that all the kids actually grabbed her and took her out into the garden space to give her a tour of all of the newly created art. of all of us.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.